I think about some precious old saints. It's meant a lot to me in my life. And one of these days we'll be together again. It won't be too long. We'll be gathered around the throne of God. When we get hooked up again, we won't ever have to depart. Be there throughout the ceaseless ages. Well, I want to go to Psalm 119 tonight. If the Lord will be my helper, go back and maybe finish up where we started the other day. Psalm 119, we want to read verses 1 through 4 if we can tonight, and then I'll bring you just a few thoughts, and we'll be through it. In Psalm 119, verse number 1, of course we know this chapter is about the Word of God, but before it begins, really, well, I don't know, I guess it's tied to the Word of God, but the first few verses talks about the blessed individuals, the blessed life. And so let's read the verses and then we'll try to give you just a few things tonight. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening. And Lord, you know how unworthy and how needy and how insufficient I am for the work this evening. I ask you just to help me. I ask you, Father, if you would, to touch me. Please preach through me and help me to say what you want and to say it how you want it. And Lord, I ask you to open the hearts to receive. If there's any hindrances, I ask you to just hold them back for a few minutes and allow the Holy Spirit free course in our lives. Again, open the hearts of your people and do an eternal work this evening. And I'll thank you and praise you for all you do. Most of all, be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we preached on this, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we said this word blessed means happy. It carries with it the idea of happiness. And that's something we all want. We go through life and really, the fact of the matter is, if you're making $10 an hour and you're happy, I'm talking about in your soul with the Lord, that's worth more to you than making $50 an hour and being unhappy. I said it last time. I want to say it again. There was a comedian, actor, some time back, maybe a month or so ago, and this fella, I think I read somewhere where he had been involved in, I don't know if he was a producer, director, or actor at this point in his career, but he had been involved in like 18 major films or 20 major, whatever the number was, it was way on up there. And the bottom line is he was wealthy. I mean, he had more money than he'd ever spend. He had a fine wife, he had a fine house. A good job. He was looked up to. He had popularity. Can I tell you? He had all the world had to offer. I don't know what else he could have asked for. He was the epitome of the what we call worldly success. And to make a long story short, and you all know this, many of you do, there come a time in his life, 62, 63 years old, that he committed suicide. He hung himself. And you say, well, he had it all. He had everything. Why? Why would a man that had everything do something like that? Can I tell you? He did not have happiness in his soul. And we speak, I hear some preachers speak about happiness as a earthly thing and tied to happenings, but fact of the matter is, there is a happiness from the Lord. If you study the Scriptures, there's a happiness from Him. And what we want, what will satisfy is for you to be contented. And Brother Ronnie Brewster said it, and I probably got it twisted over 20 years, Brother Ronnie. We was down at the other church, and he was opening up or testifying or something, and he said, I've forgotten exactly how it said it, but something to this effect, that he's known people, or you could be, or however he phrased it. The bottom line was this, that you can eat bread. There's people who eat beans and bread and cornbread who are happier than people who eat T-bone steaks. And it's all about on the inside. And I told you about my granny and how she had no running water and them old light cords that hung down with the pool chain, and they was going to buy her a mobile home for her last days. And here's what she said, thanks but no thanks. This will do me as long as I'm here. And you say, well, why didn't she want to better herself? She's content. She's happy down on the inside. And so the world teaches us what happiness is. But the Bible does as well. Now, if you're on a television set and you watch that television set long enough, there'll be a commercial come on, a beer commercial come on, and it'll show a fella holding a beer can, and it'll show him laughing. You'll never see him with a frown on his face. It'll show him in nice clothes. It'll never show him in rags. And he'll have a new car, and there'll be two or three beautiful women half dressed around him, and the message they're sending is that drinking that their product, drinking that beer, brings happiness. That's what the world's trying to sell you on, that brings happiness. They never show you the flip side. They never show you the man with vomit all over the front of his shirt and he's urinated on himself, or the young men that die because they've thrown up and they're passed out and they choke to death on their own vomit. Never shows you the children at home who's crying because mom and dad come in drunk, beat mom, or the divorce courts and the children without a parent. You never see that on the commercials. Never shows that because they're selling you on what happiness is. And we know the world has a happiness, but can I tell you, there is a happiness and there's a formula in the Word of God for happiness. Now, if we were to look in Matthew chapter 5, we would see a mindset of happiness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. And you can go through the Beatitudes. And it's all mindsets that bring happiness. The poor in spirit's the spirit of humility. And humble people are happy people. Proud people are unhappy people. You can just sit down and piece all that together and just think that through, and it'll make sense to you. And so we know that attitude has something. The right kind of attitude has something to do with godly happiness. And if you don't have the right attitude, you're a sitting duck for the devil. And there's not many folks that do have the right attitude today. Everybody's high and haughty, and it's about my four and no more. And if we're okay, then everybody else can just make it the best they can. I paid the price to get where I'm at, and they can pay the same price I paid. And that's generally the attitude of our day, even among believers. I want to say this, the Christian life is a life of sacrifice and giving, not taking. Always remember that. You're going to live for the Lord, you're going to have to be a giver. You can't always be taking. These people that come in the church, and they're all about, what can the church do for me? I want to tell you, sometimes you ought to ask yourself, what can I do for the church? What can I do for this godly institution that God sent His own Son to give His life and shed His blood for? I mean, the church is pretty important. And the Christian life is this. It's a life of giving, not taking. If you're a taker, not a giver, you don't have a godly, you do not have a godly attitude. It's just that simple today. And so here's all I'm trying to say is that this thing is about a godly, happiness is about a godly attitude. We can see that in Matthew 5. We can see in Matthew 5 that godly suffering brings happiness. We can go over to Psalms 1 and we can see that godly company brings happiness to your life. And separating from ungodly folk will bring happiness in your life. And you better take heed to that. We're living in a world, there's not hardly anybody happy. Not even God's people seem happy. We trudge in, we trudge out, week after week. And we sit down and we're glum, and we don't come to get in, we come to get out. That's right. And if the preacher preaches 10 minutes longer than what you think he should, you're kindly on edge, and you're a little bit tore up about it. That's just the world we live in today. And I see that, and I know you all see that. And so that's the day we're living in. But where I want to talk to you, where I want to go tonight is the text we just read in Psalm 119. And that word blessed equates to happy. In the Bible, if you'll take that word blessed, it equates to happy. And we preached a message on blessed or the undefiled in the way. Who walk in the law of the Lord. We use the phrase the undefiled in the way. And we use that as salvation, as a type of salvation. And I think that's where happiness starts, at salvation. There's a lot of sinners think they're having a happy, that they're happy and having a good time. They really don't know what happiness is all about. They really don't know. They just think they do. And so I want to say to you, if you're really going to be happy, you're going to have to be a child of God. But what I want to do tonight is just back up and look at these as a child of God. Let's base our message tonight on the premises that the psalmist is writing to believers. And he says this, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Now, I understand we can apply that to salvation, but I want to apply it to the saint tonight. And I want to say this, happy are the holy. Now, let me back up and say that again. Here's what we say. If we get out there and we dabble in the world, maybe not drink, or maybe not run with women, maybe not curse, but I mean just dabble in the things of the world. The Bible does say shun all appearance of evil. The Bible wants us to shun the appearance of evil. We don't live by that philosophy anymore. We're going to evaluate, and if there's any way, we're going to be a participant in the world. Can I tell you, we'd be wise to practice holiness in our life. Holiness brings happiness. The undefiled are the happy folks. If you're truly saved, now you listen to what I'm saying tonight. If you're truly saved and you're dabbling in sin, it'll rob you of your happiness. Let me give you this example. I have given it to you multiple times, but if you were a sinner and had gotten drunk on Friday night, you would probably wake up on Saturday morning and say this, I can't wait till next Friday night so I can do the same thing again. That's the attitude of the sinner. They enjoy sin, and when they complete the sin, they're ready to do it again. But can I say to you, if a child of God commits that sin, they're truly a child of God, and they can commit some terrible sins. King David proves that to us, does it not? I mean, you would have thought a man do something like that. He doesn't know the Lord, but that was a man after God's own heart. But can I tell you what it did to King David? It grieved his soul what he did. Sin did not bring happiness to his life. It brought misery to his life. And instead of that fella gets drunk on Friday night saying, hey, I can't wait to do it again, here's what he's saying. Oh, I can't believe I did what I did. I cannot believe I got in the wrong crowd. I cannot believe I didn't walk away. I cannot believe I acted like I acted. And they're ashamed and they're sad, and it brings sadness to your life. Now here's what we do. Here's what we do as God's children. We kind of want to straddle the fence. We've got that old Laodicean spirit, that lukewarmness, that thing of I kind of want to have the good things of the world and the good things of the church, and I'm going to have it all. What really happens, you lose out on everything. You don't fit in the world. You don't. If you're a worldling, you don't fit in the church, and you're uncomfortable wherever you look. Can I just say this? Sin will bring misery, but holy living will bring happiness to your life. You just might as well write that down, mark it down. That's what's wrong with a lot of God's people today. They've not dealt with those little sins in their life. And I'd say tonight in this crowd, if I was just saying, and I don't have a right to say it, we probably don't have a drunkard in the crowd. We most likely don't have a fornicator or adulterer in the crowd tonight. But I want to tell you, you've sinned this week. You might as well. You may not like that, but you've sinned this week. Have you dealt with that sin? Have you asked the Lord to forgive you and clean you up? Are those little foxes spoiling your vine, keeping you from being fruitful? I'm just asking you tonight. Here's what he said. Blessed are the undefiled. Blessed are the happy. Has your old spirit become corrupt? Filthy? Let me read to you. Boy, this has eaten me. This has eaten me for 2 or 3 months. It's just kind of settled in. I've read it time and time again. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You might say, boy, my flesh, I'm doing pretty good. What about your spirit? You have an old envious, jealous, wrathful maybe, contentious spirit. You say things, and really it's not what you say, but it's how you say it, and it's the attitude you have about it. Do you have a godly spirit tonight? Do you really have a God? Are you selfish? You have a selfish spirit? Impatient spirit? What about that? What about the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You have that about your life? Or do you have, would you just have to say, really, my spirit's filthy. I've got a filthy spirit about me. I'm not talking about gross, immoral thoughts or that. I'm just talking about things that you and I wouldn't think much of. Is your spirit a Christ-like spirit? That's what I'm saying. It may be robbing you of your joy. Your spirit may be robbed. Your filthy spirit may be robbing you of your joy, because it's holiness that brings happiness. And so we see that first little truth there. Blessed are the undefiled. Happy are the undefiled in the way. In the way. It's being in God's way that brings true happiness. It's going God's route. It's following God. We could go over to Psalm 1 where it talks about the way. And let me, it talks about in a negative sense. Let me just read it to you. I could quote it, but I probably miss it. Blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way. There's the way. There's another way. The way of sinners. Blessed is the man that standeth not in the way of sinners. What that verse is teaching us. What way are you standing in? What way is it you're going? What path are you traveling down? Lukewarm path? He said, be zealous and repent. Be red hot and repent of that lukewarmness. That's what he said. Are you going down that path? Are you going down the carnal path? Are you following the path of sinners? Maybe family members or friends or schoolmates or neighbors or whatever it is. And if it's okay for them, and look how good they've got it and how well everything's going for them, that I'm going the same way. Are you going God's way tonight? I'm talking about the happy way. You know, you want to be happy. Do you really want to be happy? I'm talking about down in your soul. You when you lay down in your bed at night, you're just happy in your soul. Can I tell you what the Bible says? Blessed. Or if you wanted to put happy there, I'm not changing the Bible. I'm just saying that's what the word means. Happy are the undefiled, the holy, in the way of the Lord. And so you've got to be holy, but you've got to be in the right way. A way speaks of a walk. We're gonna see that next. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk. You know, a way doesn't matter unless you're going somewhere. If you're sitting idle, you're not in a way. You're just sitting there. But here's what he said, blessed are the undefiled in the way. And then I want to focus in on this, who walk. Who walk? Now, I wonder how many of you is walking for the Lord tonight. That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Are you walking or sitting idle? Are you sitting idle? Here's the fact of the matter. God created His children to be active for Him. You ought to be walking. Hey, I can tell you this. Serving the Lord is not like watching a ball game. You might sit on the sidelines and watch a ball game and enjoy it. You can't sit on the sidelines for God and be happy. I don't know what God's got for you, but God's got something for every one of you in this room that's saved. God has work for you to do. And if you're idle, if you're not doing anything, if you're just sitting on the sidelines, can I say this, just an armchair Christian, if I can put it that way, sitting on the sidelines, you're not going to be happy. Here's what he said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk. Who walk? Who are going for God, doing something for God. Now listen, I don't have a right to tell you what you're supposed to be doing. That's not my goal, to tell you what your job is, what God would have you be involved in. But you and the Lord need to work that out. And you need to be doing something. You need to be praying. You need to be calling, inviting somebody to church, encouraging somebody. I don't know what you ought to be doing. But I'm saying this. If you're not doing something, you're not going to be happy. Do you want to be happy? I'll tell you, if you can get happiness in your soul, you really don't need a whole lot more. If you can get the joy of the Lord and be happy in Him, I'm telling you, everything else will just work out for you. And so we have a little formula here for happiness. Blessed are the undefiled, the holy, who are in the way, who are going God's way and not their way, and going God's way and not the devil's way, going God's way and not religion's way, but going God's way. And then it says this, who walk. That makes me think this, if you're idle, you're not going to be as happy. You're not going to be happy. Who walk. My, we need some folks who are walking for the Lord. There's no true happiness for a child of God to be idle or sitting on the sidelines. No place for that. Not in the Lord's Word. We're all going to stand. We're going to be judged according to what? Results? According to the results we obtain? In 1 Corinthians 3, I think it says labor. We're going to be judged according to our labor. If his results, poor old Noah might have been in trouble. Preached 120 years and got ate across. I mean, he really probably, the farther I go along in this thing, the more I have a heart for Noah. That must have been very discouraging at times. I mean, I guess the only thing that man could really take joy in, that he was doing what God wanted him to do. He certainly didn't see a lot of great results, but we're going to be judged according to our labors. You know what he said to that one servant? My, I wish I could find that right now. Thy slothful and wicked servant. He took his one talent or one pound, I don't remember which one of those parables it is, and he buried his in the earth. And he said, I knew thou wast an austere God, and you reap where you hadn't sown. You know the passage. And he said, so I buried what you gave me in the ground because I was afraid. I was afraid. He said, you wasn't afraid. You were slothful. And you're wicked. That's what the Bible says. And I can find it if you really don't believe that. I can find it. It's in there. I just have to look for a minute. And I don't want to take time to do that tonight. But it just came to my mind. Here's a fella. He hid what God gave him to use. And God said, "You're wicked." The Lord said, "You're." When he came back, and he gave the one that had five, one, two, and give two. And he comes to this fella. He said, "Man, you're not afraid." He said, "You're slothful and wicked." I don't want to be called lazy by God. I really don't want to be called lazy. I'm a lot of things, but I despise laziness. I don't like laziness. Do something if it's, well, I won't say if it's wrong. That's what I say a lot, but that really probably ain't right. But we ought to do something for the glory of God. And so, here's what I'm trying to say to you tonight before we go on. If you want to be happy, you're going to have to be holy. You're going to have to be walking in the right way, but you're going to have to be walking. This sitting around idle, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to bring happiness to your life. And so we see that little truth. So this thing of walking speaks of going forward. It speaks of making progress. It speaks on you going on with God. My, and we could say what we said Sunday, if you, whatever God's got for you, be doing that. Be doing that. My, I want you to notice what else it says. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And so we see here again this phrase that keep his testimonies. I looked up that word keep. And here's what it said: to guard. As if you're keeping something and not letting it slip away or get being stole from you. To guard, in a good sense, to protect, to maintain, to obey, in a bad sense, to conceal. And so here's what it's saying: you keep the Word of God down on the inside. Get that down on the inside. And I think that's the gist of this more than the thing of obedience. Now, we know holiness brings obedience. We know that. But this word keep means, hey, don't let it slip away. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Fact of the matter is, you can have truth and it can slip away from you. You can get away from it. Some of you can say this: I used to do this, and I was blessed for it, but some way or another, it slipped away from me. Well, I can relate to that. Have you ever had your prayer life right where it's supposed to be, and maybe go a while, and some little something happened, a little event, and you miss a day or two, miss praying like you should for a day or two, and then what happens? You don't get back. It slipped from you. The pull, the force of that text that tells us to pray without ceasing, and men ought always to pray and not to faint, and that those truths that we had a big hold on, all of a sudden they're dull to us. And here's what he said: if you want to be blessed, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. That keep his testimony. Don't let the truths of God's word slip away from you. You've been times in your life you was fired up. The Word of God challenged you. It meant something to you. If it said it, you was going to do it. It didn't matter if anybody else did. You didn't care what they thought. But somewhere that slipped away from you. Don't let the truths of the Word of God slip away. It'll rob you of your happiness. Hold on. Hold on. Make an effort to cling to the truths of the Word of God. You've got to guard and protect His Word in your life. If you want to be happy, protect the Word of God in your life. The devil's going to wear away at it. And the psalmist is saying, hey, I'm talking about being blessed. I'm talking about being happy. And if you're going to be happy, you're going to have to keep His testimonies. Happiness comes by keeping, by guarding, by protecting the Word of God in your life. But then I want you to notice what else it says here. Maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself a little, but it says this, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him. That seek him. Here's what we say. God sought us out. Sure he did at salvation, but after salvation, we ought to seek him. We ought to try to get in his presence. He said this, I've got a throne of grace. If you need help, if you're in need, you can come to the throne of grace and you can find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And you know what he said to the child of God? You can come boldly to the throne of grace. You can come boldly. Here's what the devil tells us, and he's right. I guess he's right in a sense. It's a half truth, but it has a little truth to it. You're not worthy to pray. You ever to get down to pray and feel like you ain't even worthy to call on God? I do. I have. You ever get down, really, there's unconfessed sin in your life, and you feel about half backslid? And you're trying to pray, and you really don't even feel like God deserves or should even listen to you? And he shouldn't? But can I tell you what the Bible said? The Bible says this, come boldly. Brother Allen, when you're at your worst state, that's when you need the throne of grace the most. Amen. When you are in your lowest spiritual state, that's when you need mercy and grace to help more than you need any other time. And he said, come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help when? In time of need. And so here's what I'm saying. Seek the Lord. Those that seek the Lord are those that are happy. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Bible teaches God's people to seek the Lord. You say he's down on the inside. I know he is, but we grieve and quench and do despite to him and resist him. And I'm just saying he's grieved most of the time. My, we're to seek him. We're to seek to get in his presence. How long's it been since you've been in the presence of the Lord? How long's it been since you've tried to get in the presence of the Lord? How long's it been once you got on your knees and you said this, I'm going to get through to God. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to stay here till I get a hold of heaven. How long's it been? How long's it been since you could honestly say, preacher, I sought the Lord today. I sought him. I sought him. My, here's what he said. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him. But that's not all it says. That's not all it says. It tells us how to seek him. Here's what it says. And that seek him with the whole, W-H-O-L-E, the entire, the complete heart, the whole heart. That seek him with the whole heart. I want to ask you. You just answer it to yourself. I'm just trying to provoke thought with the question. How long's it been since you sought the Lord wholeheartedly? Well, I'm going to get down here and pray. I can't believe the preacher wants us to pray 15 minutes. I can't believe he'd put time limits on prayer. It's not how long you pray. It's how you pray. Well, you're right. But you know what I found out? You have to work at temperance. Temperance is self-control. Temperance is doing what you know you ought to do. You know what people do when they go on a diet? They change their eating habits, Brother Allen. At first, it's very hard. They start eating and they're not eating. They're eating half what they was eating and it hurts them. And what they're trying to do and they're wanting to eat and they're fighting the desire. Sometimes they lose and sometimes they win. And what they're trying to do is change their way. And they do that by trying, by putting forth effort. We train. That's what we mean when we say we discipline our children. It doesn't mean we're whipping our children to make our... It shouldn't mean we're whipping our children to make our frustrations feel better. It shouldn't mean that. What it should mean, we're training our children to do what they ought to do and not what they want to do in their flesh. Well, that little boy's pitching a temper tantrum. He's doing what he wants to do. That's not what he should do. So we discipline that little boy so the next time he'll do what he ought to do and not what he wants to do. We're teaching him discipline. That's why we call it discipline our children. And we spank them for that or whatever means we choose to use. But that's what God's people have to do. You have to do that to your own life, and you do in certain areas. Dieting is one of them. You'll discipline yourself in dieting, but I'm going to tell you what y'all do. Y'all discipline yourself to seek the Lord with your whole heart. Y'all to practice whole heart Christianity. You won't always do it, but if you'll practice it, you'll get better at it. That's just how it is. I know what I'm saying sounds so odd, and many of you never thought of it like that, but just think about it and see if I'm telling you the truth tonight. Oh my, you start doing something for a while and then it seems to get easier to you. And if it's the right thing, it'll help your life. And if it's the wrong thing, it'll hurt your life. You ever start overeating and you say, oh, I'm so full, I can't even sleep. You overeat enough, you know what? You'll get a bigger stomach and you'll be able to eat more and you need that same amount, sleep like a baby. You know what you've done? You've disciplined yourself to eat more than you should. And I'm saying we ought to exercise some spiritual discipline. We ought to train ourselves. We ought to train. Hey, isn't that what it says about our children? Train up a child in the way it should go. That didn't say instruct the child in the way it should go. Train up a child. I mean, put that child to action. Teach him what he ought to do. See that he does it. And when he does it long enough and faithful enough, after a while it becomes second nature to him. It was amazing to me the other night, Kelly Beth, when Brady threw that scripture out on me. I mean, I'm still kind of amazed at that. He just spit that thing out just like that, and it had application. He was right. He didn't even think about it, did he, Karen? I mean, it just rolled right out of his mouth. And he was right in what he said. And here's what I'm saying. You discipline yourself. Discipline yourself in the prayer closet. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, that's crazy to set time limits. No, what you're doing is training yourself to seek God. And that's what we ought to do, seek God. My, we train ourselves to work 8 hours a day. Some of you remember when you first went on a particular job, you just didn't think you could work it. You didn't think you could do it 8 hours a day. But you found out you could. You trained yourself for it. And so you done. Train yourself. Seek the Lord. Train yourself to seek the Lord. There's happiness in seeking the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Practice whole heart Christianity. I'm telling you, we're living in a day of half-heartedness. Just do it. Don't give your best. Don't put your heart in it. Just get it done. Halfway throw it together. Whether it's a Sunday school lesson or learning a song or whatever it is, do your best. Put your whole heart in it. We're serving and working for the Lord. And we ought to put our heart in it. And you'll be happy if you put your heart in it, but if you don't put your heart in it, if your heart ain't in it, it's not going to bring no joy to you. That's why it's a misery. Go to church. Your heart's not in it. Put your heart in the thing. I'm talking about being happy. Do you really want to be blessed or happy? Right here's a formula for you. We've got two other passages we could preach from, but this is what God put on my heart. And here's the little truth. God's word demands God's method if you want to be happy. And happiness comes by protecting the Word of God. Keep His testimonies. And happiness comes from seeking the Lord. My, and not only seeking Him, but seeking Him with the whole heart. You need to put your whole heart in this thing. And so here's what I'm saying. I'll close out. I've got a little thought on diligently there. I could share it with you out of verse 4, but I feel like we need to stop tonight. Here's what I want to say to you. Do you want to be happy? Some of you are not spiritually happy. You know you're not. You know you're not. And none of us are at times because we're not doing what God said we ought to do to be happy. I've lost my happiness before and you've lost yours before. And if you're unhappy, there's a remedy for it. God's got a remedy for it. And you ought to think about it. Holiness brings happiness. In the way of the Lord brings happiness. Walking, active in the work of the Lord brings happiness. Keeping His testimonies, seeking Him, wholeheartedness. My, we could, and you can just go down through there and maybe pick out some more, some I've missed. But here's what I'm saying. I don't know about you, but I want to be happy. I want to finish this thing with joy. I don't want to endure. I don't want to endure the Christian life. I don't want to endure it. In fact, I'm not going to if I can help it. I'm just not doing it. I want to enjoy. I want to enjoy being saved. I want to enjoy serving God. How about you tonight? I want to ask you. I want to ask you tonight. I'd like that verse of a song, Brother Allen. I don't know. Just on my heart tonight to have a little invitation. Maybe there's somebody here and really, you're not. You just have to say, Preacher, I've lost my happiness. I'm not happy. I'm not holy. I don't have the holiness in my life that brings happiness. I'm not walking in the way. I'm walking in my way. I'm walking in religion's way. I'm walking in the world's way. I'm not walking in the Lord's way. I'm not keeping His testimonies down on the inside. I'm not holding them tight. I'm not latching on to them. I'm not seeking Him. I'm not wholehearted. My, if God spoke to your heart tonight, you've lost your happiness. Can I say this? You can get it back if you need to. God spoke to you. Would you be honest enough to be obedient to Him? These altars open. If you need to pray tonight, we'll have a verse of a song. If you need to come pray, you come pray tonight. If not, we'll go home here in a few minutes. Sing to us, Brother Allen. All heads bowed, just you and the Lord. Just you and the Lord this evening.